Thank you. My name is Dasuko Tagawa, and I'd like to divide my presentation into four parts. First one is very short about myself, why I'm here. And the second part is about Japanese economy with specific focus upon 3 points, which was actually asked by Helga. And third part is my observation about world economy from my own personal, perspective. And the fourth point is inspired by Mr. LaRouche's point. I would like to explain a very, very important new invention which my company created very recently, which will completely change this world. Okay. First, about myself. I worked in the Ministry of Finance of the Japanese government for 35 years, and fortunately or unfortunately, I was in charge of the settlement of the financial crisis in late 1990s in Japan. I lost some friends of mine and my staff, as well as my friend, Japanese bankers, who were arrested and put in jail, or they committed suicide and died. But I survived. And that time, I had to liquidate major Japanese investment banks, two companies, Yamaichi Securities and other. And also, I had to partially nationalize two major banks in Japan. And also, in 2007, I went to IMF, and I was involved in the liquidation of Lehman Brothers in 2008. Last week, I had a chance to meet my former colleague, Mr. Dominic Strauss-Kahn, in St. Petersburg, St. Petersburg, Economic Forum. That's my background. And second point is about Japanese economy, but my first focus is upon the relationship between Japan and Russia. Last month, May 2nd, I celebrated my birthday. This is a joint birthday party with my friend, who is a very famous Russian conductor, Valery Gergiev, because his birthday is May 2nd and mine is May 3rd. So for the last 7 years, we, celebrate our birthday together somewhere in the world. And he told me that he would perform on the next day in Kazan and in a city named, Ekaterinburg on May 4th. But he didn't say anything further. And on May 5th, I was sitting in the lounge of the Moscow airport, and suddenly I saw his face performing in Syria at Aleppo. That was a big surprise, but that was a fantastic performance. And at that at the birthday party of about 40 people, I had my friend, who is my very good friend, the best speaker of Russian language. He is our ambassador in Moscow. Early morning next day, he flew to Sochi to support our Prime Minister, Mr. Abe, in his meeting with Mr. Putin. That meeting took place on May 6th. On May 7th, I received an email from my friend. He said three things. Oh, I cannot say anything specific to you. Number two, meeting went very well. Number three, Prime Minister went back to Japan with full satisfaction. So that was a very simple message. But thanks to that message, well, as you know that in 2018, in Russia, they have, presidential election. And also China, they have this kind of election next year. Usually, 1 year before that kind of election, nothing moves, because people are more concerned about where they are going to work or something. So we had thought that next year, it is not likely that we will have a final agreement with Russia. But this meeting on May 6th changed everything. Now we expect that our Prime Minister, Mr. Abe, is likely to accept the invitation of Mr. Putin and attend the Economic Forum in Vladivostok on September 2nd and 3rd. And I am quite hopeful that within this year, Mr. Putin will come to Japan. And if that will happen, it is highly likely that we would come to the final agreement with Russia sometime next year. Now, I think optimistic about it. So that part is now going very well. And my second point is, what is now going on in Japan with regard to the nuclear power plants? As you know that we shut down all nuclear power plants after the incidents of, I think, Fukushima in 2011. Last year, finally, we reactivated two of them, and then followed by one. And 2 weeks ago, our Ministry of Economy made public the report, which had a kind of the prospect for the future energy combination in Japan. The target year is 2030. And in that report, we expect that we would build 24 new nuclear power plants in Japan. Third point I'd like to mention is, actually, Japanese economy is actually now in a kind of bubble, which is not shown in a figure. Instead, I'd like to just tell you the incredible incidents now in Tokyo. We relaxed some visa, I think, requirement for people from Southeast Asia. Of course, we didn't relax visa requirement for the Chinese because we are afraid that if that will happen, 700 million Chinese might come to Tokyo. Okay. But last year, we received 5 million Chinese tourists. That was 100% increase over 2 years ago. And the average purchase volume of each, I think, Chinese tourist is now something about $3,000. And now we have a shortfall in our hotels. After the big earthquake and tsunami in 2011, the hotels in Tokyo had a vacancy rate of about 90%. Well, miserable. But these days, everything is full. Especially starting last year, Chinese people started to come to Japan. At the end of March and early April, just in order to enjoy cherry blossoms in Tokyo. So now all cherry blossoms, those parks, which are very famous for cherry blossoms in Tokyo, are completely occupied by Chinese tourists. And because of the shortfall in hotels, what is now going on is, starting last year also, local cities, the population is something like Frankfurt am Main, and the population is something like Wiesbaden. They started to receive huge numbers of Chinese tourists. So they set up a fleet from Shanghai to those cities. And last year, a ship with 2,000 Chinese tourists came in, followed by the other ship with 3,000 Chinese tourists. And this year, in a very small city, something like Wiesbaden, they received a very big ship with the capacity of 8,000 tourists. And as you can imagine, you need to have at least one bus for 100 tourists. So first case, we had 20 buses and 30 buses. This year, they had to arrange 80 buses for those people, and they stay on the ship. So thanks to those foreign tourists, our economy is now very good. And actually, Mr. LaLouche talked about infrastructure. And I'm very thankful for that comment, because I was in charge of the budget examiner, in charge of the budget of Japanese economic assistance to China. And in 1989, we agreed upon the Japanese economic assistance to China of the amount of $10 billion each year for over 6 years. So those loans were made to build, for example, airport in Beijing, airport in Shanghai, airport in Guangzhou, and 7 ports, and 7 railroads, and 7 factories, 7 dams, and 7 power plants. And also the phone network in Shanghai, as well as the phone network in Beijing, and subway system in Beijing were built with this, I think, loans, which carried only 0.5% interest. Thanks to those infrastructure, Japanese companies started to make investment in China, and now we are actually getting those fruits in the form of a huge numbers of Chinese tourists. So I'm very sure that if we just make investment in the right way, we can actually redouble the volume of demand, which is completely missing in this world. As I completely agree with Mr. Zani's opinion, because we don't care about investment bankers. They do care about only rich people, okay? And they are interested in only gambling. And we don't need them. But we do need commercial banks, because they are the settlement bankers, and they take care of our deposits. And in order to stop investment bankers gambling, as he said, it is very important to look at asset side. Even if we would allow bankers to keep huge amount of money under the name of equity, it does not stop gamblers make gambling. So we have to separate these two. And we have to take all banks back to our own life. And he just mentioned, but of course, this is a little bit difficult to understand, but there is a concept of notional amount for, I think, derivatives. When they gamble, they need some kind of base figure, which is not real. But it is said the amount of notional amount of derivatives held by Deutsche Bank is 300 trillion euro. That is 5 times larger than the GNP of Germany. So you'll be really, frightened. But don't worry. There's a way to set it. Well, those investment bankers, they just gamble each other. Maybe the counterpart might be Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or something like that. So they should just net out. They should just net out everything. Then suddenly the amount would become almost zero. So here again, we don't have to worry about. And we should more focus upon manufacturing. And so now the time to disclose our invention. This is a small cooking machine. The size is same as electric range. There's a small boiler inside. And using the hydrogen water, we will make heated heated steam. And we can control the temperature between 150 degrees or 600 degrees. And when we put this steam into the cooking machine, of course, air will be pushed out. But with this, I think, heat, everything, vegetables, meat, and fish, can easily cooked. And most important thing, since air is pushed out, everything is cooked without oxygen. So they are not oxidized. As you know, non-oxidized food are very good for your health. And so, number one, this is everything becomes very tasty. So everything is very tasty. So we don't have any waste. So this is very good for your environment. And number two, as I said, it's not oxidized. So even 7 days after cooking fish, the cell of the fish, they are still alive. So they are very juicy and very soft. And number three, this can, of course, wash out all chemical additives out of the leftover of those are the chemicals out of vegetables. And number four, because they are not oxidized, they don't have any bad smell. Bad smell comes out when foods are oxidized. Okay? So, and number five, it is very, very easy to cook. In the case of sliced meat, you put sliced meat into this machine only 2 minutes, and after 2 minutes, everything is fine. Everything is perfect. So we started to sell this big one to the Japanese largest, I think, supermarket chain. And for the first time in our history, they started to produce completely chemical additives free lunchbox, and they can actually stay for a long time. Why we think started with those restaurants or these companies? Because we are afraid that if we first sell this machine to the consumers, because everything becomes so tasty, nobody would go to a restaurant. So I hope within 1 year, this machine will, I think, come to the market. And we don't want to become rich. And we want more that all people on this earth can have healthy food and can live long. And the expected price range would be between $1,500 and $2,000. Okay. Thank you very much.